Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to focus in on the Russian economy. We've just had some latest data that's been released on retail sales, unemployment, and industrial output. So I want to go through the detail of those figures, but I want to put it into perspective. I want to compare what's happening in Russia to what's happening in all of the other countries from the G20. So in today's episode, as well as looking at the latest figures, I'll take a step back and have a look at what's happening with regards to inflation, unemployment, interest rates, and the overall economy in Russia. If you've been following the channel, you'll know we've been covering the Russian economy in some detail. And the expectation is that Russia is moving into recession in 2022, and it's likely that they'll see a further fall in the economy in 2023. So let's get a complete update on where we are right now. But before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. And also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Still on that push for 100,000 subscribers. We're into the 90s now, so it's getting closer, but I still need your help to get there. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. We're now starting to see the predicted downturn in the Russian economy feeding through in the data that's being released on a monthly basis. In the 12 months to May 2022, Russia's industrial output fell by 1.7%. However, this is obviously an average figure for the whole economy, and certain sectors have suffered serious downfalls, with car production falling by almost 97% in the 12 months. So this all seems like bad news, but to put it into perspective, I wanted to compare what's happening in Russia with what's happening with all of the other countries in the G20. And just to remind you, the G20 are the 20 largest economies in the world. So this is a like-for-like comparison. We're comparing the strongest 20 countries. And I think this comparison is really important because obviously the whole world is going through a state of turmoil right now. So we need to see whether Russia is doing better or worse than everybody else. This table shows the growth rate in industrial production over the last 12 months for the G20 economies. And industrial production is defined as the output of businesses and industries in sectors such as manufacturing, mining, and energy. The section in green here shows the latest figures, and I've ranked this table from top to bottom. So the top countries are the best performers, and the bottom countries are the worst performers. And you can see that over the last 12 months, the top five performing countries in terms of industrial production are Saudi Arabia, Singapore, Turkey, Switzerland, and South Korea. So quite a surprising list. I don't think many people would have picked those five countries in terms of the top five of the largest 20 economies. Now, as we run further down the list, I'll pick out a few countries that I think are worth comparing what's happening with what's going on in Russia. Over the last 12 months, the United States has seen 5.8% positive growth in industrial production. However, importantly, when you look at the comparison against last month, we're seeing a decline. So the 12 months to April showed 6.3% growth. The 12 months to May, it's now 5.8%. So there's a 0.5% reduction over the last month. And it's a similar story in Canada. We've got 3.6% positive growth over the last 12 months. However, if you look at the trend, you can see that there's been a reduction from April to May. In April, the 12-month figure was running at 5.1%, and now it's 3.6%. And that's quite a material movement in 1 month. China's another country worth highlighting here because obviously industrial production is a main part of the Chinese economy. And you can see that over the last 12 months, China has delivered positive growth of 0.7%. And this compares to a negative position in the 12 months to April. Now, China is still being heavily affected by COVID. Because the Chinese authorities have a complete zero tolerance approach, they're still locking down whole cities when COVID outbreaks occur. And the removal of these compulsory lockdowns is what's really driving this upward movement in May. The UK is still showing positive growth, 0.7% over the last 12 months, and that's remained flat between April and May. Australia is also clinging on to positive growth territory. They've had 0.2% over the last 12 months. But again, if you look at the trend, it's come down from 1.4%. So the trend is telling us that industrial production is slowing down and potentially could move into negative territory going forward. And now moving into the countries that have actually experienced a real fall in industrial production over the last 12 months, France has seen a 0.3% fall, Brazil, a 0.5% fall. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, Russia has seen a 1.7% fall over the last year. Finishing up this list, Germany has seen a 2.1% fall, Japan a 2.8% fall, and South Africa is the worst performing country out of all of the G20 with a 7.8% fall in industrial output over the last 12 months. Out of the top 20 countries in the world right now, there are only three that are performing worse than Russia, and they're Germany, Japan, and South Africa. However, when you look at the trend, both Germany and Japan saw an improvement in their position in May. Both countries reduced the fall in the rate of industrial production and are showing a trend towards moving back towards positive territory. And if that trend continues, then they are moving back towards positive territory. Russia saw a continuation in the fall of its industrial production in May, and the forecasts are that that is likely to continue all the way through the rest of 2022. So the summary here is that out of the G20 countries, the only country that looks to be doing significantly worse than Russia right now is South Africa. The movement in retail sales is a really strong indicator as to what is happening in an economy, because it tells you exactly what the consumers are doing, what they're buying, and whether or not they're changing their buying patterns. And the situation for Russia doesn't look good right now. This table shows the movement in retail sales over the last 12 months for the G20 economies. And for the purposes of this comparison, I've reversed the order, so I've got the worst performing countries at the top and the best performing countries at the bottom. And you can see that Russia is currently the worst performing country out of all of the G20, with retail sales falling by 10.1% in the 12 months to May. And this represents a further deterioration from the position that we saw in April. China is the second worst performer with a fall of 6.7%. However, if you look at the trend, the position in May represents a significant improvement from April. And as we just discussed, a lot of this is driven by the COVID lockdowns that are being enforced by the authorities. The UK is the third worst performing country with the fall of 4.7% in retail sales. However, again, the trend is an improvement compared with the position from April. Germany has seen a fall of 3.6% in retail sales over the last 12 months. And the position is concerning in Germany because it's getting worse month on month. Switzerland is the fifth worst performer in the G20 with a fall of 1.6% over the last 12 months. However, this represents an improvement from the position to May and looks like Switzerland is moving back towards positive territory. All of the other countries in the G20 are currently seeing year-on-year increases in retail sales, which, given the high levels of inflation that we're experiencing all around the world, is what you would expect. You would expect that people are spending more now than they were 12 months ago, because if you're buying the same amount of products that you were buying this time last year, the value of those products is higher, and therefore that represents an increase in retail sales. This table shows the current rates of inflation for the G20. If you follow the channel, you'll be perfectly aware of what's happening in Turkey right now, and inflation is now above 70%, so it's off the scale. Argentina has similar problems to Turkey, and we've got inflation above 60% currently. If we exclude those two countries, as they both have runaway inflation, Russia is the worst performing country of the rest of the G20, with an inflation rate currently of 17.1%. Now, that does represent a fall from the position that we had in April, but 17.1% is still extremely high for a developed economy. Now, one of the reasons that we've seen a fall in the inflation rate in Russia is because at the start of the war, the Russian central bank hiked interest rates to 20% as an emergency measure. Now, that massive increase in rates has obviously had a big impact on the economy. We just talked about what's happened with retail sales and industrial output, and it is starting to have an impact on inflation. But the problem that Russia has right now is that if they focus too heavily on bringing inflation down, it could be at the detriment of the whole rest of the economy. There's no point having low inflation if the whole rest of your economy is bankrupt. Just continuing with the comparison, the only other countries with inflation in double digits at the moment are Brazil, with just under 12%. However, we are seeing a reduction. Brazil is also rapidly increasing its interest rates to bring that inflation back down. And Spain, who are sitting at just above 10%. And the problem that Spain has is that they're part of the EU discussions, and so they don't control their own interest rates. So inflation is starting to build rapidly in Spain, and as it sits right now, they can't do anything about it until all of the EU start moving those rates upwards. Inflation remains a big issue for the rest of the countries on this list. However, the overall summary of this table is that Russia has very high level of inflation right now, higher than the vast majority of the G20, and its economy is struggling because of that. At times of high inflation, the movement in wages is really important to make sure that consumers are not losing out on a relative basis. If your wages are growing at a lower rate than inflation, then that means that in real terms, you've got less money, therefore you've got less spending capacity, and that means the economy is likely to slow down. This table shows the latest data for wage growth for selected countries from the G20. Not all of the countries make this data publicly available, so it's difficult to get. But the majority of the largest countries in the G20 are represented in this table. As you can see, over the last 12 months, the USA has increased its wages by more than 11.6%, which compares to the current inflation rate of 8.6%. So in relative terms, wages have been growing faster than the rate of price increases. The average growth in wages in the UK has been 6.8%, which is less than the 9.1% current rate of inflation. So in real terms, wages have been falling. In Canada, wages have increased by 4.3%, compared to inflation of 7.7%. So again, a relative fall in wages. In Australia, wages have grown by 2.4% versus inflation of 5.1%. In Germany, wages have actually fallen by 1.4%. versus the current rate of inflation of 7.6%. So that is a really big fall in relative terms. But the country where wages have fallen the most is Russia. And there has been a 7.2% decline in wages over the last 12 months. And if we put this into context, we just discussed the fact that inflation is now 17.1% in Russia. So in relative terms, there has been a massive fall in wages here. Prices have risen by more than 17% and average wages have fallen by more than 7%. So that means that consumers have considerably less disposable income than they did this time last year, and that will have a huge impact on the economy. So when you look forward as to what is likely to happen, a decline in relative disposable income is going to have a huge effect on the economy because consumers will spend less. That means that there'll be less money going around in the economy, there'll be a contraction, and we've got real problems building in Russia. So this is why the forecasters are saying that it's looking really bleak for Russia for the rest of 2022 and probably into 2023. And while we're talking about industrial output and wages, I thought it was worth looking at the current rates of unemployment, because these figures are being bandied around in the press as something that's showing positivity from Russia. These are the current unemployment rates for the G20. As you can see, South Africa is top of the list with more than 34% unemployment right now. Spain has over 13% unemployment. Turkey's coming in around 11%, Brazil 10%, and Italy 8.4%. If we scroll down the list, you can see that Russia is sitting relatively low down the table and currently only has an unemployment rate of 3.9%, which is an improvement from the 4% that the country was at in April. So in relative terms, Russia looks like it's doing quite well. It's on a par with Australia and actually has a lower unemployment rate than Germany, Canada, China and France. However, the data that we've just discussed really puts this into perspective. Over the last 12 months, wages have fallen by more than 7% in Russia. And at the same time, inflation has increased by 17%. So although the rate of unemployment is relatively low, the people that are being employed are being paid much less than they were this time last year, and prices are much higher. So in real terms, everybody is much worse off. Russia currently has high rates of employment, but the people in employment are actually suffering because they've got less money and prices are going up. And I really wanted to point these factors out because data can be very misleading. On paper, it looks great that Russia has got a low level of unemployment. But when you dig into the detail and see that those people who are being employed are being paid less and they've got less disposable income, then overall, that's a bad situation for the economy. You'd be far better off having a higher rate of unemployment, but having better real wages and lower inflation. Overall, that would be a much better position for most of the people in that country. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video really to give you an understanding as to how data can be misleading. You can read headlines in the press about low unemployment or something of that nature which gives you the impression that a country is doing really well. And Russia's a great example of this right now. Their unemployment rate has come right down and is on a par today with the USA and the UK. So that looks like a really healthy position. But when you look at what's happening with regards to consumer prices, inflation, wage growth, the actual position is significantly worse. And what we're seeing in Russia right now is a deterioration in all of the fundamentals. Industrial output is falling and the rate of fall is increasing. And that's really bad news for Russia because that's telling you that they don't have anything in the pipeline that's going to save them. If industry is suffering, then that's going to hit the economy over the next 3 to 6 months. And inflation is still at an incredibly high rate. It has come down. And again, that would be a headline that you initially read and think, oh, well, things are going well in Russia because inflation's falling. But the reason that it's falling is because interest rates have been hiked aggressively. So they were increased to 20%. They've now been brought back down. They're currently sitting at around 9%, which is still very high when you compare it to what's going on in the rest of the world. But the fundamental position for Russia right now looks bad. They are heading towards a deep recession in 2022, and that recession could continue well into 2023. We haven't really bottomed out what the impact of the Ukraine war is going to be. It's still going on. Russia are still fighting on a daily basis. As long as this war goes on, it's likely that the situation will get worse for Russia. The headlines with regards to the sale of oil and the sale of gas and Russia raking in billions of dollars are all very glitzy and impressive. However, it's all relative. Russia have been earning billions of dollars for a long period of time. And in relative terms, they're earning less right now. Their markets are shrinking. The number of countries that want to deal with them are declining. And they've got issues with regards to things like natural gas. Because if they want to sell natural gas to India, they need to turn it into LNG. They need to liquefy it and then move it via ships. And that costs money and it will take time to get those facilities set up to be able to handle the scale of LNG that they want to export. So there are lots of problems building for Russia right now. And there is no doubt about it. They are going to go into a serious recession and they're going to be suffering badly in 2022 and possibly for a long time yet. So I wanted to give you the data, I wanted to give you an update, really to put things into perspective because the press can be very misleading with the way that they put spin on articles. I've given you some of the information. Hopefully you've got a better understanding as to what's going on right now. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Try to get me to that 100,000 before the end of the summer. Thanks very much.